Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw Countout, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to that deals with top 10 countdowns.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many other podcasts exclusively feature top 10 lists in wrestling, but I mean, I'm going to throw this out there. We're probably one of the better ones. Just going to say it. Toot my own horn, Larson. Our own horn.
I don't know.
Kind of feeling like we're probably one of the better ones.
I don't know.
That does top 10 wrestling lists.
I don't know.
In podcast form.
I don't know how great we are, honestly.
Having doubts, are you, old friend? Interesting.
One of those days.
Wow. One of those days.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, we're on youtube.com/Stephen Larson.
Probably where you're watching this.
Yeah. If you're listening to this on a podcast app, you take a little phone here, a little podcast phone, and you say, give rating, review. That really helps us out.
And we're on Spotify now, in case you hadn't heard.
Hey-oh.
Man, I got really sleepy. I need some coffee. After we're done,
I'm going to get some coffee. We're already filming right now.
And after we're done, I'm going to go get some coffee.
Well, then you're just going to be going home.
I know, but that's not like like my day ends as soon as I leave here. I still have stuff to do.
I think you just disappear when you leave here.
To the ether, huh? Poof.
Exactly. You go, whoa.
And then at, 10:30 every morning, you just kind of poof, reemerge right there.
Yeah, exactly.
I take my human form.
You're not an actual person. Anyways, we're available also on the Patreon, patreon.com/Stephen Larson. We have many wonderful reward tiers, including comic book tier, which
$20.
It's around here somewhere. $20, you get a comic book, a poster, a couple stickers. It's really cool. It's a Friendo Care Package. Everybody loves the Friendo Care Package.
It's very popular.
It's very popular. It's a very important part of our process.
Yeah, man.
And we also have a t-shirt shop at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. We had a sale. That's over with. But you can still buy these things at full price.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So on Raw this past week, John Cena challenged The Undertaker and said, well, no, that match isn't going to happen because I'm told it's not going to happen.
He said, uh-uh.
Uh-uh. So
I'll
we thought
believe,
of other.
I'll believe that one.
So we thought of other WrestleMania matches that were in the planning stages, or at least imagined somewhere that never happened.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually been quite a few. There's been at least 10 because we found 10 here, and some of these actually have really, really interesting backstories.
Yeah, most of them do.
We did a couple. So this is something I'd like to pick up in the future. But WWF,
yeah,
Wrestling What Ifs, the show that we did, like where we do combined gameplay with some, you know, potential matches that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those is on here. Well, I think
there's
one
a few of them on here that either we had produced or were in line to produce.
So it was a lot of fun. This first one is not one of those. Number 10.
10.
Big Show versus Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. So this was supposed to just happen last year, and that fell through. But I guess originally it was planned maybe to happen at WrestleMania 28.
Yeah.
So this is a match that was 5 years in the making, perhaps yeah, longer.
On July 27, 2009, which I'm not sure how closely I was paying attention to the product back then.
Not much.
Yeah. Shaq, after he got traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers, showed up at Monday Night Raw. At the show's conclusion, this is coming from WWE.com. They did like a great list of their own Mania matches that never happened. Ours differs quite a bit. At the show's conclusion.
Oh, well, they have a number one.
Same as our number one, actually.
Oh, okay.
That's actually the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
because it's kind of the biggest. At the finish of the show, they apparently stood toe-to-toe.
Face-to-face.
Face-to-face. Station-to-station.
You're singing Bowie now, huh?
In December of 2011, Miami-based broadcasting personality Rodolfo Roman questioned Shaq about a possible match against Big Show, and Shaq simply said this.
Wait, what?
Oh, I thought, were you reading along?
Shaqton.
Yeah. You're Shaqton right now, man.
He says, I'm going to see Big Show again. And then about 2 weeks later, Shaq was on some other show, the Abe Kanan Show, said that he was in discussions with
Shaqton.
World Wrestling Entertainment to potentially have a match against Big Show at WrestleMania 28.
We're going
to
be Shaqton.
And then at some other thing later on, Shaq told HollywoodLife.com that he was going to be also at Mania.
Said this a lot. So, like, over the course of
several months, yeah.
It was just
and then
saying,
he was on Mike and Mike on ESPN a few days later. And again, reiterated he would be in a match against Will. But then WWE.com later that day said, no, it's not happening.
Shaqton. I was just Shaqton, everybody. I was Shaqton. Anyways, fast forward a couple of years to WrestleMania 32.
Yeah.
And we saw in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal,
Shaqton.
Shaq came back. And he sprinted down the long ramp, which is kind of cool. Good for him. I mean, a Shaq sprint is like a jog to anybody else. And, of course, they all sort of congealed around the Big Show, who is the center of, you know, the participants in the ring.
Well, he's largest, awaiting. Largest, most massive participant in the match.
He's got the largest amount of gravitational pull. Shaq came directly to him. They had a standoff. And then Kane, for some reason, just like got into the frame.
He's also large.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He got into the frame. Put his hand on Shaq. Big Show put his hand on Kane. And then Shaq put his hand on Kane. And they gave him a double choke slam.
Who eliminated Shaq? Do you remember?
I didn't get past that. I didn't. Right. I watched like the first
one. We'll say it was.
We watched it.
Well, yeah, we were sitting right here doing it. Because the one that Baron Corbin won.
Yeah.
Anyways, ESPYs later on that year, Big Show challenged Shaq to a match while on the red carpet. But it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Show talked about why the match fell through on Talk is Jericho. And this is what he had to say. Quote, he definitely wanted to do something. And he had a lot of crazy ideas for an absolute insane setup. A lot of times in this business, things just don't work out.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a very awkward situation to be in because the amount of information that went back and forth was really off. You know what I mean? A lot of it was Shaq's a busy dude. He's got a lot of stuff going on. I could have had a fantastic match with Shaq and made his experience fantastic, give him WrestleMania moment, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah, he could not have had a fantastic
match. It would have been a lot of fun though.
And I'm not saying that about Shaq. I'm not saying about the Big Show. I'm saying about the Shaq. Like it just that would not have.
It could have been a lot of fun though.
It could. I don't know what all this crazy stuff is. This kind of sounds like Shaq. You know when like people like get ideas. Like, they're really rich and they have a lot of great ideas. And then, like, it doesn't happen. I've got all these crazy ideas. But then it's a flirtation at best. That's what this sounds like.
Could be.
Because when he says, a lot of it was, Shaq's a busy dude. He's got a lot of stuff going on. That's annoying. That sounds like Shaq has, like, five different handlers who have to keep people at bay, which makes sense. He's a hugely popular, he's an icon in pop culture and sports. But I don't know. It just sounds like he was flirting with the idea. Didn't give a crap enough for it really to happen.
Yeah.
So it just never happened. I like that Big Show was really down to do this, though.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Here's the thing about Big Show is that I really liked what he said during the last time around he was there in WWE. I know he's injured right now, or he's coming back from an injury. But he had that great match with Braun Strowman in the cage. They had a bunch of cool stuff going on. And he said, I just really like to wrestle.
Yeah.
He likes the wrestling aspect. I don't want to just come in and do a cameo.
House show stuff. Yeah.
He likes that stuff. And so the idea that he was really geeked to do something really interesting with Shaq is really cool.
And I think Show talked about it also. I didn't find the exact quote. That he was really disappointed that didn't happen because he felt that was his last opportunity to have a huge WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not only for Shaq, but also for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Show realized his career about to come to an end.
Yeah.
And so I think he was really hoping that he could have something cool and huge and massive to do at WrestleMania. Didn't end up happening. He was in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I don't think he was in there very long.
Yeah.
There was that... I remember when he got eliminated. Oh, it was him and Strowman. And he was upset afterwards because everybody else in the match didn't let them milk that moment. They kind of like eliminated them right away.
Yeah, he yelled at everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember him being very upset leaving the ring.
Yeah. They ruined it. Anyways, yeah, it could have been fun.
It could have been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Number nine.
Nine.
The Rock versus Shawn Michaels.
Now, based on the research I did, I couldn't find anything to say that this was actually in the cards for an actual WrestleMania match. And if that were the case, it would be much higher on the list. But this is a feud that I think a lot of people wanted to have happen at some point, and it would have made perfect sense for it to culminate. Excuse me. It's whenever we do a thing after lunch, I just burped the whole time. I apologize.
Yeah.
A feud of this magnitude should have culminated at a WrestleMania, but it never happened.
This is interesting. Yeah. So in an interview with WWE.com in 2005, Rock said this about working with HBK. I was never, ever interested in working with him, to be honest with you. I've known him for a long time. He came in and worked for my family in Hawaii when I was like 13, him and Marty Jannetty. It was just one of those things. He was always one of those guys that I said hey to, and he said hey, and it's no big deal.
And then the Wrestling Observer himself, Dave Meltzer, kind of fleshed out the nature of the beef.
Yeah, I remember this.
It kind of stems from two things. One, The Rock felt that Michaels was rude to his grandmother, who was running this promotion in Hawaii.
Meemaw.
Mm-hmm. And that also that The Rock felt that HBK maybe tried to hold him back or torpedo his career a bit in 1996 when he debuted in WWE.
Yeah.
So it seems like, you know, when the opportunity may have presented itself to wrestle Shawn Michaels, The Rock says, not interested, got a beef.
Well, The Rock's peak really was during the entire period of time that HBK was gone.
Yeah.
And then when HBK came back, The Rock was basically a part-timer anyways.
Yeah, he was making movies pretty much full-time at that juncture, yes. Yeah,
so, I mean, it's kind of not surprising this was never really on the agenda. Something tells me if HBK had not had his early retirement phase, this would have happened.
You think so?
Oh, in that 5 years, The Rock was the hottest thing, and HBK was always one of the hottest things.
Yeah. No, I'm not doubting that statement. Yeah. I just say you would think so, yes.
Oh, I thought, yeah.
No, I wasn't questioning that.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah, that's totally a thing. They would have gotten over it. And then otherwise, just the timing wasn't there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, those are two kind of small things. Being rude to Meemaw, that's just an apology. And then HBK trying to torpedo his
career. That's another apology.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was the click. He tried to torpedo everybody's career.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of...
I mean, Triple H tried to insert himself in the main event of WrestleMania 15. What do you do with that show? Turn on X-Pac?
That's right.
That's a huge leap.
Yeah. Exactly, man. Hey, you got to be a shark if you're going to be in the wrestling business.
That's what I hear.
That's not trying to torpedo somebody's career. That's trying to reach for the brass ring.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Look, man, we're in the wrestling business, Larson. We know these.
No, we're not. Don't say that.
We know these things.
We're like on the periphery of the wrestling business.
We're on the periphery of wrestling journalism.
No.
I hate that word.
Reporting.
I like, we're, what are you, what are you, we're wrestling regurgitationists.
Yeah. Regurgitators.
Regurgitators.
Yes. Regurgitationists.
We mock.
I think you made up a word.
We regurgitate and then mock.
Analyze.
Number eight. Hulk Hogan versus Roddy Piper.
So, of course, they were in a match at WrestleMania 1, a tag match. It was Hogan and Mr. T against Piper and
Paul Orndorff, Mr. Paul Wonderful.
Orndorff. Snuka was in Hogan's corner, Cowboy Bob Orton in Piper's corner. And yet, Hogan and Piper never had a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. They had a match one-on-one before WrestleMania 1 during the War to Settle the Score on MTV. And another one-on-one match after WrestleMania at the Wrestling Classic. But they never, you know, they seem like they could have had a match at WrestleMania 2. Instead, it was Piper and Mr. T in a boxing match. And then there was Hogan and Bundy in a cage match. You'd think they'd be able to milk that feud for another year to finally get Hogan versus Piper on that huge stage.
Okay, well, here's the thing also. This is my supposition here. I'm speculating.
And you're probably right.
Well, there's a couple things, because I haven't mentioned the other thing to you.
Mm.
First off, so if you take a look at WrestleMania 1, they needed this. They had the access to the star power of Mr. T. Putting him in the match made total sense.
Yeah, it's one thing to have him ringside. It's another thing to have him actually be involved in the match.
WrestleMania 2, I agree with you. If it was today and we had those guys at their prime, yeah, that would have made total sense. Back then, I wonder if, because WrestleMania was... new-ish. WrestleMania 2 was new-ish. It didn't have the legacy. For all they knew, WrestleMania 2 would be the last one.
Yeah.
Or 3 would be the last one. And they had the Wrestling Classic, which I think they probably thought was like maybe on par with WrestleMania in terms of its popularity. Granted, like now that we're 35 years later, we can look back and say, yeah, nobody even remembers the Wrestling Classic. Back then, they might have thought that was as big a deal as WrestleMania.
Yeah, maybe.
And they had that match.
Here's another thing to consider, too, is WrestleMania 2 happened at 3 locations. And so they probably wanted...
spread the love.
...a main event for each location, which would make sense why you'd separate Piper from Hogan. So you have Piper versus T in New York, I believe.
Okay.
And then you had Hogan, Bundy, close the show in the steel cage in L.A.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the main event was for Chicago. That was the third location.
Savage somebody?
No, Savage was in New York.
Oh, okay.
We just did that for pay-per-view on the Raw recap.
Oh, really? And at WrestleMania 2? Okay. Yeah. Here we go. For Chicago?
Yeah.
Chicago, it was the last match was the WWF Tag Team Championship.
Okay, so Bulldogs against Dream Team?
Dream Team, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, if you got to give it context. It wouldn't surprise me. I thought, hey, the Wrestling Classic, this is going to be as big. They might have thought they were going to do Wrestling Classics every year.
Yeah, could be.
So that one kind of makes sense because there isn't even a story out there in terms of why didn't this match ever happen?
Yeah.
I don't know why I went in my Vince voice. But
I don't know either.
Why did it happen? We did it at the Wrestling Classic and on MTV. What more do you want?
I know.
You got it twice. You got it twice. It was probably crap both times.
No, what a Wrestling Classic was bad.
Oh, was it really?
It's about 8 minutes, but it was
you know,
fun.
Hogan could go back in the day.
Well, he could go better than he did in the 90s.
Well, yeah, but I could probably go better than he could in the 90s. Number seven.
Seven.
Sting versus Kurt Angle.
So we've heard a lot, and Sting's talked a lot about a dream match against Undertaker at Mania, but I guess at WrestleMania 18, there was talk of bringing him in to take on Kurt Angle. This is courtesy of former WWE writer Dave Lagana, who said, quote, that was in the works, but, quote, the deal apparently fell apart as Sting wasn't willing to work the full WWE schedule. And then Sting, talking on Legends with JBL, said that, quote, Vince wanted more of a commitment out of me than I was willing to give. This has come up more recently in negotiations we've heard between WWE and the Hardys, as well as WWE and Rey Mysterio, that WWE was asking.
They're greedy.
All of them to work full-time schedules. Yeah. So that means 5 days a week, house shows, on the road 250 days a year,
it's
roughly.
Too much, man.
It's a lot.
It's too much.
Especially when you have a lot of mileage on you, like Mysterio, like the Hardys, and like, at this point, Sting. So I can understand if the choice for Sting was working 250 days a year. Sure, you get your cool dream matches you probably always wanted. At the same time, you can work for TNA, work, what, once a month for tapings, probably get paid pretty well, and then be at home with your family the rest of the time.
Yeah. Number six, Macho Man versus Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid.
So we did our very first episode of Wrestling What If, WWIF, on this exact feud. Apparently, Macho Man was kind of being forced out of the wrestling ring into the commentary table by Vince.
It's the new generation.
Yeah, they were kind of bringing up a new crop of talent, pushing them, which makes sense. But at the same time, if you're gonna do that, use some of your established stars to get over the younger stars, you would think. So Macho Man went to Vince. He wasn't quite ready to hang him up, retire from in-ring competition, and thinking that he had the possibility with this feud to top his classic feud, his classic match against Steamboat at WrestleMania 3, pitched a two-year storyline between himself and Shawn Michaels to Vince that Vince apparently crapped all over.
Yeah.
Said no.
It's a terrible idea.
I guess the feud would have kicked off with Macho Man in the ring, inviting Shawn Michaels in, popping some champagne, toasting to his career, and then he would have broken, smash, that champagne bottle over HBK's head. Would have kicked off a feud that lasted 2 years, culminated, I think, at WrestleMania 9, is a speculation, in a career versus hair match where Macho Man put up his career, HBK would put up his wonderful mullet, and HBK would have gone over.
The mullet would win.
Yes, the mullet would remain. Macho Man would have retired, started doing commentary. I think it would have been fantastic. It's a shame it never happened. And to think that maybe, it's not a definite maybe, if Macho Man had gotten this wish, he might not have gone to WCW. Maybe he wouldn't be able to retire on his terms, come to peace with the end of his career, and he could have stayed in WWF a heck of a lot longer than he actually did.
At the very least, you would think that this would have erased any, like, the thing that would have been gone perhaps would have been the idea that he had any, like, lingering resentments towards McMahon for just shuffling him off to commentary.
Yeah,
I'm not sure he would have turned down the paycheck or the
who knows?
You know, wanting to be in the spotlight. I'm sure McMahon wouldn't have been, like, McMahon wasn't going to pay a guy at commentary nothing close to what WCW is going to give him.
But if that point,
but what I was going to say is, once he was gone, Savage might have ended back in WWE after WCW, if, you know, on a Legends thing or, you know, like in the same kind of thing. They were on such bad ground that it wasn't until after Macho Man died and then some that he was inducted to the Hall of Fame and sort of welcomed back into the company.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there were kind of the rumors out there about, you know, the Macho Man stuff that Vince might have been upset about that I don't really want to talk about. But, you know, and I'm not sure how much that actually played into it. There's been speculation, but you would think that this would have, you know, this would have changed things, perhaps,
yeah,
maybe. So, more than anything, it's a shame. I mean, Macho Man could still go at this point.
Oh yeah,
that was so confusing about it. It's like, no, you're gonna go to commentary now. It's like,
I know he was in his 40s, I think, but he could still wrestle.
Yeah, he could still go.
He still had a great feud in WCW against DDP.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He had several great matches in WCW.
Man, you're going to give me the diamond cutter, and you're going to go over. I'd like you. Everybody liked Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, man.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, I think everybody would really like the story. He didn't start wrestling until he was 35.
I know. There's still hope for me, man.
No, you're well past that.
Number five.
Five.
Eddie Guerrero versus HBK. So many of these are HBK matches.
Well, he was the best, man.
He was the best.
He was the best. So former WWE creative guy, writer, Court Bauer, spoke on his podcast about the potential of this match happening. There was a meeting, I guess, as he puts it, like a day or two before Eddie passed, where they were talking some early planning for WrestleMania 22. And this is what he had to say. The transcript for this is via Wrestling Inc. We had a call with Vince at home when we were talking about the preliminary plan to WrestleMania. I know there's this romanticized story about how Eddie was going to get the title, and that was the plan, that he was going to get it that night or at Survivor Series. That wasn't the plan. I think Stephanie said that or alluded to it on the air, and that was not the plan. The plan was that he would lose, and I think they were going to return in December. We had talked about a fascinating idea. I'm not the biggest Bruce Pritchard fan, but to his credit, I believe it was Bruce who pitched putting Eddie Guerrero at WrestleMania against Shawn Michaels and doing the parallels of their careers.
That's an interesting idea.
He continues, being the heartthrob in Mexico and this mercurial figure south of the border, and the American version being HBK, they had never really worked, and you would have had such a great dynamic between the two with heel Eddie versus Shawn. That'd be your tear the house down, high-quality match, WrestleMania 22 in Chicago. Vince was like, God damn, that's really appealing. We can parallel their careers. What kind of footage of Eddie can we have outside of WCW? We could do some really impressive packages.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That would have been amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of HBK being the best, Eddie was the best, too.
Eddie was totally the best, so this would have been best match.
Yeah, this would have been best match maybe ever.
Perhaps ever. At least WrestleMania best match.
Yeah.
Well, what else? Hold on a second. What else on the Mania 22 card?
WrestleMania 22.
That wasn't Trump year, was it?
Oh, I think that was. No, it wasn't. Okay. Who did HBK end up facing that year?
This was...
Is that HBK Cena? No.
Mr. McMahon.
Oh, that was a bloody match.
Hey, just put him in there with me.
Yeah, no, Vince was like
the default. I can wrestle too.
The default to take on all the older wrestlers.
Yeah.
There was like a string of years where it was him, Hogan, and Hart.
Yeah.
In like street fights.
Yeah, and they were probably like, those are probably all the backup plans for what they, I mean, when we get to number one, I think that was the backup plan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Also on that, John Cena, Triple H, Torrey Wilson versus Candice Michelle. Rey Mysterio versus Kurt Angle is probably good. Oh, and Randy Orton. Undertaker, Mark Henry. Interesting. Yeah, we'll do a quick pay-per-view. Undertaker versus Mark Henry. Who won at WrestleMania?
Undertaker.
Very good. You win. All right, next. Number four.
Four.
Sting versus Undertaker. Yeah, psych, he is on this list. What a swerve I just gave them.
Sting spoke about this match and how it almost happened at WrestleMania 27.
The Kurt Angle almost happening at 17?
18.
18.
This is what he had to say to the Daily Star when he was offered the match, but he turned it down. He said, quote, let's just say that I turned it down for the same reasons I always have. Something in me never trusted what would happen up there based entirely on the track record with other WCW guys and everything that went on after Vince bought WCW. So it seems a combination of that, how, you know, WCW guys weren't exactly treated the best when they went to WWE or WWF. Add that to the rigorous road schedule. Just didn't seem like it was something he would be up to at the time. Pretty recently, October of last year, Sting made some comments about this match in an interview with Al Arabia, saying, quote, talking to The Undertaker, quote, we've had a brief conversation. I just told him, I said, man, I just always wanted to have that match. It wasn't necessarily reciprocated, so I'm not sure where he stands or if he had any interest at all, to be quite honest.
This is one thing that I love about Sting. No ego there. If it was half a dozen other people and somebody didn't express any interest, they'd be like, yeah, it just didn't happen. But Sting's like, yeah, he didn't want to do the match with me, apparently.
Yeah.
And he had no problem saying that. He seems to have his priority straight.
People were up in arms about him losing the Triple H in his one Mania match. He was like, I just wanted the experience.
I know. You have to appreciate that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. Hey, Steven. How you doing?
Doing great, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good, man.
So,
hurting.
Yeah, me too. My neck's bugging me.
Oh, man. My hips are killing me right now.
Yeah, man. You know, we can't really be doing this much longer, you know. But
that's truth.
But you know, there's one match that neither of us have ever had.
Oh, interesting. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, like, I was always in WCW. You were always in WWE. You were the Phenom. I was the Icon.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And those two forces, it just never clashed.
Right. Now, what match are you talking about? What match? What are you getting at? I'm not following you.
You know, like Phenom versus Icon.
Right, right. Icon versus Phenom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, can't go back and change things. You know, hold on.
What?
Hold on. Michelle's calling me.
What?
All right.
Yeah, okay. I'll be right there. I'm talking to Steve. No, Sting. Yeah.
I got to go. You're breaking up. Bye.
roll and scene. Number three. Shawn Michaels. Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels 2.
So, yeah, they had their Iron Man match.
Another Shawn Michaels match.
WrestleMania 12. This is the last one.
Okay.
And so I guess original plan for WrestleMania 13, instead of Sid versus Undertaker. The original main event for WrestleMania 13 was to be HBK and Hitman in a rematch with Bret Hart going over this time.
I feel like there's a whole top 10 list of Sid main event Mania matches that shouldn't have happened.
That he stumbled into.
There's at least two. He fought Hogan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sid stumbled into.
So this was around the time, it was right before this, HBK reclaimed the title from Sid, I believe, at the Rumble prior. No. Yes. I don't remember.
Oh, it was weird. This
is when HBK lost his smile.
Wasn't this like at a Raw? They had like a fatal four-way at Raw or something?
No, it was in your house. So they turned okay. It, all that stuff. But in terms of HBK, he was champion, dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been Royal Rumble. Must have been Royal Rumble then. Where he beat Sid for it. Because I think that was the one in San Antonio. Royal Rumble 97.
Okay.
Look that up.
I'm going to look it up now.
But then, you know, a matter of a few weeks later, there was talk of him having a knee injury, and he came out and dropped
the ball. HBK beat Psycho Sid.
Yeah, for the title,
okay,
right?
Okay, yeah.
And then he came out and he had the knee injury, and I guess, you know, he had the promo where he said he lost a smile,
mm-hmm.
Vacated the title.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately we got Undertaker Sid for it.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. So Bret Hart won at In Your House, the Four Corners
Elimination Match. He was champion,
then
Undertaker beat him for the belt later on.
For the vacant WWF. Okay, all right.
I think once they realized they were
And then it. On a Raw, I think it was on a Raw.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It might have been like shortly after that, too.
It was like on a Raw that Undertaker, the next night on Raw, Austin interfered in Hart's match and cost Hart the championship as Sid became a two-time WWF World Heavyweight Championship. After that, Undertaker was named number one contender. So they were just stitching together
Mania.
Yeah,
I know. It's about 2 weeks after the Rumble that HBK dropped the belt.
They were just stitching the shit together.
Yeah. So Bret Hart spoke to Forbes about some of the original plans, maybe, at least from his perspective, for this match. Oh, no. Yeah, it was during the Jim Ross podcast, the transcripts from Forbes. Sorry. This is what Bret had to say. Would you like to read this?
I remember we talked about, my understanding was when I left that meeting that day that I was going to come back and I was going to have a big bit of a chip on my shoulder towards Sean, start ragging on him for not being a good role model. You know, I wanted to do a thing where Sean was stomping his foot, getting ready to give me the big kick, whatever he calls it. And I'm in trouble, like I'm pulling myself from the ropes on the other side of the ring and Sean goes to give me that big kick, you know.
Doesn't he know it's called Sweet Chin Music?
As I stagger over to him, just like the Iron Man match, except this time I would take Sean's foot, you know, catch it in the air and get him to the ground and put him in some kind of a shoot hold on his foot and break his foot right in the middle of the ring.
Break his foot!
I wanted Sean to tap out like they do in the UFC, you know, like where it's like they break somebody's arm, they tap out pretty fast, you know, and everybody jumps and it's a very serious kind of thing. I wanted to break Sean's foot. And then they hand me the belt, and I would have gone over and stand over the top of him and go, fuck you.
Isn't that messed up?
What imagination does this guy have going on? Oh, my God. Who talked about this?
That's Bret Hart talking about it, man.
No, I know. But he says, I remember we talked about, my understanding was when I left that
meeting. I think there was a meeting that they were talking about what was going to happen at WrestleMania 13.
Right. So he just said, we had a meeting and this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And it's like the most ludicrous thing that HBK never would have copped to. He would have been like, what?
Maybe that's why HBK heard that. It's like, oh, by the way, knee hurts. Look at this.
Yeah.
What's missing from this face?
A smile.
Yeah. No smile. Bad knee.
Gone. Not smile gone. I'm not gonna have really, can you imagine like closing WrestleMania with Bret Hart saying, fuck you?
I know. With HBK having a kayfabe broken foot.
Yeah. It's probably supposed to be kayfabe, and Bret probably, oh, you know. Because he says here, Bret's not the kind of guy to misuse the word shoot.
Yeah.
And put some kind of a shoot hold on his foot and break his foot right in the middle of the ring. I don't think he meant in character or kayfabe.
Maybe.
I think he meant actually do that.
I would hope not. That seems unprofessional.
I'll stand on top of him and go, fuck you.
I wonder if this is his plans that were, this is like revisionist history after the screw job. He devised booking situation for himself, WrestleMania 13.
Exactly, yeah.
I forgot the other one where he caught his foot and just like got him in the sharpshooter and Sean tapped.
That would have been that's what it would have been. Not some UFC. He actually breaks his foot and then says "fuck you" at WrestleMania. Oh, what a great turn to insert the cheesy theme down WrestleMania.
Welcome to WrestleMania.
What a fantastic affair this has been. And then the final shot. Fuck you.
With like the paramedics coming out and putting the inflatable cast on HBK's foot.
Exactly. I want everybody to freak out because I just broke his foot.
But he's like ahead of my time, you know, because it's like UFC, MMA stuff, and WWE. No one's doing that at the time.
He's doing that at the time.
It'd be another 2 years before Dan Severn would come to WWE.
Exactly. Or really break his foot. I hate Sean. Number two, Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair.
So this is kind of shocking. In one sense, this never happened in WWE at WrestleMania. But in the other sense, we kind of look at why. I get it. I mean, Vince probably just wanted to protect Hogan.
Okay, so here, techtimes.com, and we'll link to this in the description. They had a good rundown.
Yeah.
That sort of had Hogan and Flair. And they kind of tiptoe around it. What I've heard, and Flair kind of mentions it here, is that they ran this at house shows, and it kind of went over like a wet fart.
See, I've heard that too, and then Flair in his podcast talked about it and didn't really say that was the case. I don't know if he necessarily denied it, but didn't say, yeah, it didn't sell well on the house show circuit. So he says it like the way he puts it is they did it on the house show circuit, I think just to prime people to have Flair as one of the top guys in case Hogan left, because that was one of the things Flair was saying in these various interviews, that Hogan was doing Trouble in Paradise, what the show was called.
Yeah.
And that, people were worried about him leaving and stuff like that.
Okay, well, so here are the actual quotes. So this Tech Times article got some quotes from a couple shoot interviews. Mm-hmm. And, of course, obviously at WrestleMania 92, it ended up being Savage Flair, which a lot of people praise. Mm-hmm. It's a good match. And then Hogan versus Sid.
The main event Sid stumbled into, yes.
Exactly. Which not a lot of people probably praised. Is that the one where Sid kicked out of the leg drop?
Might have been.
Anyways, so here is Hogan saying this. He says, Vince just shut it down and switched gears on us. Flair, in his own interview, said the main event was never even promised.
Yeah, I think this must be from his podcast. This is kind of what I read, too. That I don't know that I was ever booked and that was never promised. There's an illusion. That's an illusion people have. When I got there, Vince said that's a possibility. But at the same time, I know Hulk wanted to go out and do the show Thunder in Paradise. And they weren't getting along, I guess he and Vince, Vince and Hulk. And I guess they decided to go another way to make sure, in case he left early, they put us in arenas all over the country several times. Some people said it was a cash flow problem. Not sure what that means.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've never heard an explanation.
Cash wasn't flowing in, so they decided not to do the match.
I've never had an explanation, but it was never promised to me.
Hogan said, for some reason, it just seemed like we could have done a year and a half, 2 years worth of business, just putting Hogan and Flair together and flipping the belt back and forth four or five times. Yeah, right. Hogan pinning Flair four or five times.
I know.
Yeah,
just Hogan flipping the belt back and forth between his hands four or five times.
Exactly. Of course, they did eventually fight in 94, Bash at the Beach. My thing is this, too, and this might be why McMahon didn't like immediately say, oh, we've got Flair, let's do this. Things were a bit different. Like, TV was different back then. Everything was different back then. I'll never forget. Like, Sam Roberts on his podcast said when Flair showed up to WWF, I didn't know who he was, mm-hmm. a lot of people, I think, were probably in the same boat.
No, but in the early 90s, I had no idea who Ric Flair was. It wasn't until I started watching WCW in the mid-90s.
It was still kind of a regional thing. Somewhat. Like, WCW, NWA was kind of relegated
to
the
South. Well, I think also, too, you had your favorites. If you were a WWF guy, you were probably a WWF guy.
Right, yeah,
if
exactly.
If you were an
yeah.
NWA guy, you probably more or less just watched NWA because the product was so drastically different.
Yeah, and that's why it made sense even a couple years later when Hogan showed up in WCW and Flair was there. It made more sense because that was Flair's territory, and then you bring in the biggest name in wrestling.
That everybody knows, yeah.
And that everybody knows. So it made more sense there. And yeah, it's fine to look back on the two bigger, you know, the two biggest names basically of the era of all time, if you want to say that. I don't know. You know, it was different back then. Like, that was not maybe the case. And that's why Vince probably said, well, let's test it out on the house show circuit. And then the cash wasn't flowing in. Yeah, hence the cash
flow problem. Yes,
exactly. So I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really surprise me all that much, but at the same time, it is kind of weird. Number one, Hulk Hogan versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I love your note here. You basically said Austin didn't want to do it because he held the grudge.
Well, okay, so we'll link to this in the description. Wrestle Talk, they have a really good 5-minute rundown on why this never happened, but we'll boil it down for you in this entry. Go check out that video, though. It's really great. So basically, I mean, this is kind of from a couple different things, but basically it was because Austin didn't want to do it. When Hogan came in,
To WWE.
When Hogan came in, going all the way back, we'll get to that in a second. We'll just start off in 2002. Hogan comes in. And according to Bruce Pritchard on his podcast, he said that there was a debate, what should we do, Rock Hogan or Austin Hogan? And the idea was Austin Hogan was a bigger match, so we'll start off with Rock Hogan and then build to Austin Hogan. So they did that, and then shortly after that, they thought, okay, let's go ahead and do Austin Hogan. And Austin said, no. Hogan wanted to. Vince wanted to. Austin said, no. This is also kind of during Austin's starting to burn out period, because it wasn't long after X8 that he ended up doing the I'm leaving thing.
Yeah, because they wanted to do him versus Brock.
They wanted to job into Brock at a Raw. And so Austin said, no, I don't want to do it. He said, eh. And his reasoning was he didn't feel Hogan could go physically at the level Austin wanted to go at. And that, funny enough, harkens back to 94 when Hogan was coming in. Eric Bischoff had been telling Austin that we're going to put you in a singles thing. We're going to have you go with Hogan. And then Bischoff went back and said, actually, no, we're not. Hogan doesn't think that you're at his level. So this does kind of come off like Austin wanted to get back at him. Now Austin's the big guy and he's like, you're not at my level.
Yeah.
You're too old. You're too slow.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the basics. The Wrestle Talk goes into a little bit more detail, and Austin on his podcast apparently referenced it a couple times. And he's, I think the older Austin gets and the more recent Austin is, I mean, going back a couple of years now, he's very diplomatic about those.
Yes. He's far more, what's the word? Circumspect.
Yeah. So apparently this could have maybe happened. I guess in 2006 also at the Hall of Fame,
when Austin was inducting Bret Hart, the crowd was chanting Hogan, Austin, Hogan, Austin.
And he said, I got myself a can of whoop ass with Hogan's name on it in my locker room. But at that point, Austin, I think wisely, was like, I don't want to do matches anymore.
Yeah. Kudos to him. For once he stepped away, he was done.
He never came back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he could probably still go today.
Oh, yeah, man. He looks great. He's in great shape.
And my legacy. I got my own legacy. Anyways.
It's called Broken Skull Ranch.
It's called 316 Gimmick Street. God, this was a fun episode to do. I needed this.
We just need more role play, I guess.
Role play is the best thing, man. Oh, man.
I feel like I'm really, my John Cena impression is really hitting a good point.
I think it's hitting a good groove, man.
I think it's going really good, Steve.
I think it's going good too, John.
I'm happy to hear that, Mark.
Are we going
to
do this at WrestleMania this year? Hold on a second.
What? Michelle? What?
Sorry, John, you're breaking up. I got to go.
Goodbye.
And then, but he doesn't actually hang up because he didn't know how to use cell phones.
Oh, yeah, it was John Cena.
Mark.
He wants to do another thing with me.
Mark.
I don't know, man. I'm old. I'm tired. What do I benefit Mark, from I can, fighting
Mark,
John Cena?
Mark, I can hear you, Mark.
I mean, he's a big Hollywood star now. What Mark. Do I need to do with him? Man, get me back in there with Roman Reigns. Get my... Oh, fuck me.
Click.
That's it for now. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.